It's crazy, yeah. If you're a great, if you're good enough to be a running back, be a freaking defensive back or receiver.
Yeah, if you're good enough to be a starting running back, you could be, you know, probably a superstar at tons of other sports. Yeah.
It's,
you could be a soccer player. You could be a baseball player. It's insane.
It's the best athletes in high school get played at running back. It's insane.
If you are an NFL running back, you are not making smart decisions in life.
I agree.
Which we see plays out with most of them, except for Byron Wizerwhite, of course.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
All right. I'm in this world and they welcome made back me a to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I guess we should call 32 teams in 32 days.
Yeah, we don't have any more.
There have been only like four or five fans total.
Yeah.
Maybe even less. People are like, so I got a tweet yesterday. Someone's like, hey, I listened to the whole episode and I forget what team it was, but you guys were just talking about like not the NFL.
Yeah.
And I was
are you new to this podcast?
You found the right show. There's a patron tier where we don't talk about nonsense. But
yeah.
I guess that person doesn't agree. So let's not start by talking about the NFL. We both went to see the same movie last night with our respective wives, not with each other's wife. That would be weird.
Yeah. It just came out, so it makes sense, of course.
We were like the last two people who wanted in America who wanted to see this movie.
Yeah.
I had multiple podcasts,
including one on our sister network, that I had to like pause because I didn't want to get spoiled. And I went back and listened to them all tonight. I listened to the Bill Simmons one with Wesley Morris. I listened to Sammy and Will and Av. So we're talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, and I would say if you want to hear about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on the 32 Fans Network, this is the only place you need to go.
Yeah.
we are the two experts and the only two you need to listen to.
I think Av Sadetsky is going to cry at the end of this podcast.
Well, no, there's nothing to cry about. Like, he'll learn something.
Oh,
he'll cry tears of how much he learned.
Just because he loves this movie so much, probably more than he loves his children.
So I went to a 9:50 showing last night.
9:30 for me, baby.
And they didn't start showing, but it was very weird. I've never seen this before. They didn't start showing the previews till like 10:12.
So what were you doing?
It was like
half an hour.
So it was really like a 10:10 showing.
Yeah.
It was like commercials for 20 minutes when it was actually supposed to be previews.
The commercials are supposed to be before. Yeah, the time that the movie starts is when the previews are supposed
to
start.
The previews start.
Yeah.
So that I've never seen that before. So then if you do the math on a 10:12 start, that's a 1 o'clock finish. And also, like, after one, I knew, like, oh, we had, like, extra in the parking lot. Like, it was free until after one. So I'm like, oh, this that one commercial cost me an extra, like, $12. So we both saw the movie last night. I looked over to my left during the movie a bunch of times, and my wife was sort of, like, surreptitiously checking her phone a lot, which I think would be, like, her review. Like, She is not super familiar with the Manson murders, the Sharon Tate stuff. She really didn't know anything about that. So she didn't even, whereas for me, some of that stuff without spoiling the movie, like was, I was anticipating this and like meeting the whole Manson clan and stuff. Like it didn't mean anything to her. So I certainly liked the movie more than she did. What about you?
Well, I mean, I liked the movie more than your wife did also. I don't know if that's the standard. I liked it a lot.
No, I mean, who liked it more?
No,
Dr. Jen?
Yeah, I mean, so Dr. Jen famously told me once, like shortly after we met, that her and her best friend Lauren had watched Pulp Fiction once and thought it was really boring and turned it off in the middle. So we're not dealing exactly with a Quentin Tarantino completist.
Stan, what about the Kill Bills? I feel like my wife liked Kill Bill.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I
don't remember.
I mean, because how do you like Kill Bill but then not like, you know, Tarantino's other movies? That's weird to me.
Well, I don't know if she knows, like, she doesn't she's not a big movie buff, so she doesn't, like, she wouldn't know who directed most movies, even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kill Bill's a much different movie than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though.
Yeah. Well, so I don't care about your wife or my wife and their bad takes. What's your review?
Yeah. I really liked it. It's hard to talk about it too much without spoiling it, so I guess, can we say there's going to be spoilers?
No, it's the movie's been out for a month.
So just if fast forward a few minutes if you don't want to be spoiled. So did you think the whole time that they're going to kill, Sharon Tate and company? Like, was that like a zig when you thought they would zag, or you were already spoiled, or you anticipated that they were going to go to Leo and Brad Pitt's house?
Well, so I did not realize that August 9th was the day that Sharon Tate was killed.
So you didn't know the whole thing was you don't have to know that, I don't think.
Well,
I didn't know.
Well, but I think
the
you do because
either.
well for example, in one of the podcasts I listened to, and I believe it was Av on the 32 Fans Movie Podcast, was saying how somebody, and I forget who it was now, but it's some famous female critic, said that August 9th, 1969 is the day that Hollywood died or changed or something like that.
I think Joan Didion said that. That's the day the 60s ended.
Yeah. Oh, that was the day the 60s ended. Article. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yes, correct. So I didn't realize that August 9th was that date. And so I didn't know, like, I know that the Mansons killed Sharon Tate. I didn't know that we were going to necessarily see that in this movie when I knew that.
Well, what do you think the Mansons were involved then for? I feel like you're like a 20th percentile watcher
I thought that might happen. But what I'm saying is, like, the night that they came, like, when I was looking at my watch, at a certain point, I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe this movie is just, like, the prelude to the Mansons.
Right.
I actually and this obviously shows, I guess, I don't know Tarantino well enough. I thought, oh, maybe this is a Tarantino movie that doesn't have, like, a very bloody ending.
Yeah.
Because when Leo comes out, you know, holding his margarita mix in his hand and yells at them in the car, when they don't kill him right then, when they drive away, I'm like, oh, so, you know, I guess that's not where this movie's going. And then, of course,
I thought it's like, oh, no, they're going to go next door and kill Sharon Tate at that point, which I assume is what they want you to think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, that's the girl in the car, she says, let's kill the people who, you know, taught us how to kill. And that would obviously be the guy who played a murderer on TV for years. Not. Yeah. It was also, you know, throughout the movie, obviously, Tarantino's making references to famous other movies. It's sort of funny that one of the movies that he makes reference to is his own movie, Inglourious Basterds, you know.
Right.
With the flamethrower.
Was there a lot of eyes covering during the... during the gory dog eating the people,
dog biting the people, but when Brad Pitt is smashing that girl's face into every single surface.
Yeah.
So I am not a gore guy at all. I have never seen the only Tarantino movie I've never seen is Kill Bill Volume 1 for that reason. And I remember me and Av Sinensky getting into big arguments over that movie many years ago.
So you saw Kill Bill 2 but not Kill Bill 1, which is like essentially just the second half of that movie that happened to be released.
I think that was one of the arguments we had about whether it counted as
one
movie.
Not even a sequel.
Yeah. Well, no. The reason is because based on the reviews, I understood that Kill Bill 2 had more of a narrative and with less just gore, whereas Kill Bill 1 was like 2 hours of just murder, basically. Can you rank the 9 Tarantino, the movie, you know, obviously like only the 9 that are officially considered his movies, like those 9 movies, can you rank them for me?
No, because I haven't seen 1 or 2 of them.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to rank them? You could rank them.
Sure. Okay, so I'll go from the bottom to the top. So Kill Bill 1, I would say, is last because I haven't seen it and I have no interest in seeing it. Jackie Brown, I'd say, is second to last because, honestly, I don't remember it that well.
Okay.
I know I've seen it. It was just like his take on a blaxploitation movie, but I don't remember it well enough. Kill Bill 2 is next. Kill Bill 2 was okay. Again, I don't need to see like eyeballs getting popped out and stuff like that. So Kill Bill 2 is next. Hateful Eight is next. Now we're getting into movies that are good, like legitimately good movies. Like I enjoyed The Hateful Eight. It was a really good movie. And so, you know, six of his 9 movies I think are great movies. So, you know, I don't think I'm a Tarantino hater. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood I have next. You know, it was a little bit too much of Tarantino navel gate. Like, for example, like all the close-ups on feet. You know, like, only Rex Ryan and Tarantino were into that. And they were, like, dirty feet.
Yeah, that is interesting. So. I will say, like, individually, every scene is, like, so beautiful and so much more thought goes into every scene here than, like, even the usual typical good movie.
I will say, the first half dragged a little, and I came out of the movie almost relieved it was over. But then in the 12 hours or whatever it is since the movie ended, I think I've been liking it more and more and thinking about it more and more. And I will end up watching this over and over again, and I probably appreciate it more.
So, Av, the third most Once Upon a Time in Hollywood expert, I guess, on this podcast network, has already seen it in theaters 4 times.
Yes.
Probably one of his favorite movies ever. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up when we have him on at the end of the year as his number one movie of the year.
Well, it is right now. Spoiler.
Well, we shouldn't have him on at the end of the year, technically, because he did start a breakaway podcast. Although, technically,
leave one of our own podcasts in his own house to go record that other podcast.
Who do you? That was wild.
Wait, okay. So then the top four for me, and do you have the same top four? Are Reservoir Dogs, Django, Pulp Fiction, and Inglourious Basterds?
You know, I saw Reservoir Dogs once, like a long time ago, so it would be hard, to include that. But I would have to probably include this one instead.
Okay, that's fine. And again, I think I'll end up seeing this movie a lot of times.
No, actually, no. I'm a Kill Bill guy. I would actually have Kill Bill in there instead of this movie.
I think that when I'll see this more, I'll end up moving it up more because I think. I think you'd catch a lot of cool things more. Yeah. Also, I'm not enough.
I don't know enough about spaghetti westerns
and Sergio Leone and like 1960s Hollywood to appreciate every detail here. And every
homage. Funny because like you could easily make the case like this movie should have been like I had to run to the bathroom. And it ended up having to, like, it was, like, 5 minutes away, so, like, which I almost never do during the movie.
Didn't you have intermission during your viewing?
At a movie theater? No, there's no, in Israel, it hasn't been in many years.
Oh, that's too bad, because so, I've always said they should have intermission in America.
No, they should. They should have intermission. Yeah. In a lot of ways. So, and they get the movies now first, whereas they used to get them 2 months later.
Yeah.
Like, Europe gets the movies way, you know,
all
2 days
beforehand.
All movies,
I thought it depends.
It depends on the preview, but it happens.
I saw Austin Powers
really
in
later.
Israel like 2 months before it came out in America, and I came home and told all my friends, and they never heard of it, and they accused me of like making up the existence of a movie because this is like pre-internet. Mm. You couldn't just like check things like that.
This is in eighth grade.
I think it was the summer between eighth and ninth grade. It was like August of '96.
No, it had already come out in eighth grade, I think.
Oh, so maybe it was the previous.
This
summer.
Could be an apocryphal fake story, honestly.
No, I remember
we're gonna have to check down the timeline.
I saw it with Yotam Levy in August of. Whether it was 96, 95, 97, whatever year it was. And I came home and told my friends, and they were like, what are you talking about?
No, because I remember, I'll tell you why. Because I remember talking about Austin Powers on my eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C.
But that was the end of the
same
year of eighth
age.
Right?
Yeah, so you're saying you saw it at the beginning of the year?
I said I saw it in August of 1996. That's what I said.
And when did we graduate eighth grade?
In June of 1997.
No. So you think you saw it a year early?
No, I think it came out in Israel in August and came out in America in like November or something. I don't know. I mean, we could probably just Google this right now and find an answer.
Yeah, I'm going to Google it right now because I think this is an apocryphal memory. So it's a 1997 comedy film. It came out May 2nd. So you're positing that you saw this movie in June of 1996 when it came out May 2nd, 1997.
Okay,
So maybe I saw it before it was filmed, I guess. That's pretty ahead of the curve.
April of 97. Maybe it was for Pesach. Because, you know,
you went for Passover vacation. Is that possible?
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's possible. Because we went to Israel. No, we went to Israel, yeah.
I still don't believe that story. Luckily, like,
it's like
you know, the listeners
movie,
have me to
the
be the ombuds
movie
person.
That I saw. Back then, movies never came out in Israel before America. That's why it was so noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw it in Israel first. And then,
but it also like came out of nowhere. It was like, I mean, I guess it had Mike Myers.
Well,
but
it literally
like,
did for me. And then the other thing, which I mentioned before, is that the version I saw in Israel had was longer than the American cut and had extra scenes that were not in the American movie. And so these were scenes that I would tell my friends about that they would also say, that wasn't a movie. What are you talking about? And then years later, when like the DVD came out, we might have to do
an investigation because this story might be fake. Right. You may be misremembering.
All right, fine.
Anyway, let's talk about some football teams.
All right, are we done? Okay, so we're done with Quinton.
Yeah, I mean, I like Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood.
Before we talk about
football teams, can we talk about the big news is that you have joined the AYF?
No, I would. That by this time, there's a good chance I'm not in it. We don't know.
Well,
I haven't found someone in the draft for me yet.
This podcast is being released on Labor Day, and the draft is happening.
Oh, so how do you think you did in the draft?
Well, no, we're releasing this in the morning. The draft is that night, so we'll discuss how I did.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not
Vikings
in.
Episode,
I'm not.
Drops tomorrow, I think.
I'm not in the league yet. We have to see. I'm 50-50.
Well, you said you were 100-0, actually.
Well, no. I said if you made fun of a certain person, I would become 100-0.
Yeah.
The group chat is very active in that league.
But you knew that.
I knew that, and you know, my phone. If the 50-50 ends up being the no side, my phone will be very happy. Because it's constant pinging all day.
Yeah. By the way, so I had mentioned on this podcast about how I had to like go to court to prove my
win. Oh yeah.
Yeah. My location, and I'm just thinking like with this Austin Powers thing, like if this happened, like anything that happens now, there'd be no question. You can verify all this because you just look at your phone and Google and all these apps track you and say, yeah, you were exactly at this point at exactly this time. You know. Whereas in 1990,
oh, it's very easy.
Yeah. In 1997, it's the Wild West. Where was I? When was I there? Who knows?
Yeah, it would be very easy to do
that. All right, let's actually turn and talk about the Houston Texans. Should we do that for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about the Texans. Yeah. I'm always higher on the Texans than you for some reason.
Well, it's just funny because I absolutely love Deshaun Watson.
You love him, like, in what way? You love him as a fantasy player? You think he's a great quarterback?
Both.
Where do you have him
ranked?
Where do you have Watson ranked on your QB list? Remind me.
Why are you looking this up on the podcast?
You should have every possible window open beforehand.
I do no research prep for this. I had him number 7. You had him number 8. All right, so we're pretty similar. Although move him up. Oh, no, excuse me. I do not move him up because I had luck below him. You had luck above him, so now you move him up to 7. So now we both have him at 7. So we agree on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. So the big news this summer for the Texans has probably been the season-ending injury to Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is you know, well, a replacement
they're
level.
They're trying to get rid of Jadeveon Clowney and get some offensive line help.
Yeah, but they haven't done it yet. Yeah. That's true. If that does happen next week, fine.
Lamar Miller's injury, I don't think, has a massive impact on this team. It has. It's a bigger fantasy story.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, is he a replacement level and a starting running back? Yeah, of course.
How does this affect Duke? So Duke Johnson, I think the pick that they have to give is going to go up around now because he's going to
obviously play a lot more. Yeah. And then the guys who are listed as his backups, Buddy Howell, Josh Ferguson, Tywan Jones has bounced around the league.
Yeah. Alfred Blue Higdon, misses his big chance.
Yeah. So these guys are not...
By the way, when I think of every time I see Alfred Blue's name, I think of, and I think I've told you this before, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, how I had like an entire imaginary like NBA when I was a kid. Right?
An imaginary NBA?
Like when I was like in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, so like 95, 96, 97, I had in my head created the entire NBA in the year 2006 when I was the starting point guard on the Timberwolves.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, so I was 20. Yeah. So instead of having an imaginary friend, I had an entire imaginary league, and I had these index cards on which.
Well,
I
you didn't create like your like if you did like NBA Live or something like you didn't create.
Oh no, I would do that also. But those games had.
But then
a cap
didn't you
like,
make your didn't you make your friends your team like I would make my like friends
but
in elementary
be
school
a cap,
or high school.
But you could only
my
make
team.
Like 25 total players or something.
Yeah,
also,
25
because
or 12.
I'm very literal
and
exact. So for example, in high school, I did make the entire actual my high school basketball team on whatever game on PlayStation.
Yeah,
played,
sure.
But I made them all 6'1", like their actual heights and weights.
Oh, so, yes, they weren't good.
Yeah, they were. Well,
like
yeah.
Shaq would dominate the MTA basketball team.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I had these index cards on which I would keep stats of all these teams that were all like, you know, like that I like this whole league I had made up. And most of the people, I just like made up like complete names. There was a big man I think I mentioned before named Chester Alexander who had my reverse name. But there was a couple people were like people who I actually knew from like the JCC basketball league I played in 1995. And so the best guy in that league was David Green. So in my imaginary world in the future where I was the point guard of the Timberwolves, David Green was like a shooting guard on some team in the NBA. And then there was another player named David Blue who was. Mm-hmm. It was exactly the same like skills and like performer as David Green, except instead of a Jewish guy, he was a black guy. So anyway,
David Blue was a real guy.
No, he wasn't. I mean, I'm sure there's people named David Blue.
No, there was a player for USC who was a Jewish player named David Bluthenthal.
Yeah.
Who changed his name to David Blue.
Okay,
so he was actually a
I
real
knew
player.
About
he
that
didn't
guy.
Make the NBA,
he
but
played in USC
like
and then he went and played in Maccabi. Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know he changed his name. That's funny. So there was a David Blue. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no E. Yeah. All right. So the Texans, you know what the Texans are really missing that they should have, but, you know, a lot of teams don't have is they need like a sweet tight end, and it just doesn't exist. They drafted Jordan Thomas late last year. He's, you know, and Jordan Atkins, two Jordans and they drafted a tight end this year, actually, Kahale Warren. So the three tight ends drafted in last year. So they're very cognizant of this, not in the first two rounds, but they're really trying to get their own Gronk or their own Travis Kelce. That would be pretty sweet for a team that has famously porous blocking. To have like a two-way tight end would be incredible.
Yeah.
But it hasn't happened yet. I don't know if any of these Jordans are going to be the answer. The receiving core is incredible, right? Hopkins, Fuller, and Cootie is a top five receiving crew.
I want to go back. I mean, they have one.
I think it is.
Receiver.
I think just having well, yeah, but I think Hopkins is obviously top five. But then Fuller is good enough, and Keegan Cootie, I think people are high enough. And there's not much after that. Those guys alone are top five. Like who's? I'd rather have Atlanta's. I'd rather have Minnesota's. Who else?
Well,
who
I don't
else
know.
Is
the
receiving?
Vikings have two receivers, and that's it.
Yeah, but you only need two.
I mean, the Vikings have had a problem that they've needed a third. Laquon Treadle has dropped.
I mean, is Kiki Cootie so great that you'd rather have Hopkins and Fuller with him than
no,
Diggs
I'm,
and Thielen?
I'm
I
saying
I
don't. I'm saying I don't know what the hell Kiki Cootie is, and you know. That,
yeah.
And,
well,
you
know, that's why.
Right
yeah.
now, Chad Beebe is the Vikings' third receiver.
Well, Hopkins and Fuller alone is top five. So even if you're not a Kiki Cootie fan,
I don't know. What I've seen from the Vikings the last couple of years is that you need three. Even if you have two Pro Bowl caliber receivers, that's not enough. You need
a third competent, like a guy who could at least catch a ball.
Yeah.
You know, when because he's going to be covered
yeah.
by the
yeah exactly.
The third
no, it's going. The Vikings lost multiple games last year because of Laquon Treadwell. I mean, two that come to mind immediately. So
is Treadwell still on the roster? He is, right?
He's getting cut. Everyone expects him to.
He's not going to make the 53.
That's what the expectation. Yeah.
I was the Jets traded a sixth round pick for the Jets have a horrific cornerback situation, which I think everyone would
yeah,
agree.
Yeah, the Jets are the best receivers in football. I thought.
No, shut up.
Yeah.
But the Jets have they traded a sixth round pick for a cornerback, and the Jets have the third bid in waivers, and this guy was getting cut on every projection, so it made no sense to me when they could get him for free in 4 days, unless the slight chance that the Cardinals or the Niners ahead of them claim, you know, this one corner, random cornerback first. Didn't make sense to me to give up a sixth round pick, but that's just my two cents. So the Texans, to try and salvage their famously porous offensive line, they went out and they drafted Titus Howard with a first round pick, but I don't think he's going to be starting. They've got inside Nick Martin, Kelamite, and Fulton. They have the massive Santrell Henderson, who used to be on the Bills, and Matt Khalil from the Panthers. Those two Khalils are hard to, you know, not mix up.
They are. Ryan was the center and was good. Matt was the tackle and was bad.
Yeah, there. So Matt is now their tackle is bad, and Ryan's the one who retired and is now the Jets center.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously everything here is the line. If they have the 18th best offensive line in the league, this team is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Mm. If they have a bottom five, no, for sure, because their biggest weakness is the offensive line. Like,
yeah,
this is
also
a playoff team with the worst offensive line.
Okay, so they benefit from being in a very weak division, obviously, with the retirement of Andrew Luck.
This went from, like, being a sneaky good division to a sneaky bad division.
J.J. Watt is, you know, he's missed a lot of time in the last few years, and are you getting him for 16 games? And you don't have Clowney either, presumably. And so
you'll have, unless you trade him for a pick, you will have some sort of quality player.
Yeah, but they're losing a lot of depth.
The Clowney Trent Williams trade would be fascinating.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I assume if it was going to happen, it could happen already. Like, but I'm sure both teams have thought about it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're waiting for when the season is starting. Yeah.
The point is, I think the Redskins are just thinking they're not going to trade Trent Williams. Like, he's going to play.
Well, I mean, what's going on with him and Zeke and Melvin Gordon? Like, all these guys just aren't playing this year?
I'm pretty sure Zeke's going to play. I'd say Zeke, of those three guys, I'd say Zeke, Trent, Melvin Gordon in terms of who plays first. That's my order.
But first, what's your prediction? Let's make a prediction right now. When do we see those three players on the field?
I mean, at a certain point, it's tough for Zeke to get back week one. I'd say guarantee he's back by week two. But I think there's no reason to skip week one and then not come, you know, and just come back week two.
You got to throw out the window, because last year with Le'Veon, we were sure that we understood what he was going to do and when he was going to come back. And then it turned out like, well, he has to come back by week 10. It's in order to get a year for free agency. Then it turns out, oh, no, that's not true. Everyone was like told the wrong thing
for
2 months.
Zeke, they're clearly negotiating, where Gordon, it sounds like they're not even talking to him.
Yeah,
so
I think it's two
totally separate situations.
Melvin Gordon is a fantasy star. He's not one of the top 10 running backs in the NFL. I wouldn't pay him anything, honestly. I hate to say this. I want to see players get paid. Especially.
No, he matters more. He matters in the sense that I'm sure whoever the backup is not.
Austin Eckler and, you know, Justin Jackson, and I think they're fine. All right, so can we move on to Pittsburgh now? Because we don't have that
much. Well, no, a couple amazing names in the Texans defense we should talk about.
Sure.
Tracy Sprinkle, great name. I don't think he's going to make the team.
Oh, too bad.
Gimel President. G-I-M-E-L, and then the word president.
Okay.
Maybe the greatest name in the NFL.
Yeah. What happened to Olive President and Bet President, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. Well, I think it's more of a Hanukkah-related thing. So Gimel is the president.
Yeah.
I like that name.
No, that's a phenomenal name.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we are on the Gimel President bandwagon. Let's name this episode Gimel President.
I was going to call this episode Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Houston, and Pittsburgh. But
that's fine.
We can go for Gimel President. All right. What else? Can we move on to Pittsburgh now?
Yeah, let's talk about Pittsburgh. Yeah. Oh, so you wait, but you think, in a yes or no question, are the Houston Texans a Super Bowl contender? I say yes, you say...
Well, my take on the AFC is based on my take on the AFC was last year, which is there's only like 1.5 Super Bowl contenders in the whole conference.
Okay, it's a bad take. Do you want to get a better take? I'll give you time.
No.
You could even cut that out if you want people not to think you're stupid.
I mean, could Houston go to the Super Bowl? I guess if Patrick Mahomes gets injured or something, right? I guess anybody could because the conference
Well,
sucks.
Who's the half contender? The Chiefs or the Patriots?
The Patriots.
So the Chiefs are half a contender?
No,
they
the Patriots. Because the Patriots are not a great team, but by default, because their division's garbage, they're going to win a dozen games. They're going to get a bye.
Oh, so the Patriots are the half. So it's the Chiefs
and the Patriots are not a good team, and yet they won the Super Bowl last year, so...
I don't totally agree, but I'll let you say that. Okay, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Excuse me, the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're not up to the Chiefs.
Talk about another team that's not good, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You think they're not good?
I just think that Ben Roethlisberger, I've thought for a long time, has been very overrated, and I think now he doesn't have Antonio Brown, and we're going to see a little bit, right? I think that their offense is going to take a step back for that reason, and I think that... Again, I think by default, I think their division stinks, and I think that their conference stinks. And so I think they can get to 9 wins, and I think they can make the playoffs. But do I think this team is a contender? Do I think this team is as good as the Pittsburgh team we've seen almost every year in the last decade? No, I think this is the worst Steelers team we've seen in maybe in the whole Tomlin era.
It's an interesting take. So the receivers after Juju, Moncrief, Washington, Switzer, Eli Rogers. Nothing too exciting.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say nothing too exciting because Steelers manage, as you've said before, they find receivers every year. So
if one of those guys ends up...
Would you be shocked if Eli Rogers is 75 catches and 900 yards this year? I wouldn't be.
No, but then this is a good team. Then this, like, then why are we doubting this team?
Well, again,
I mean, you could say the strength of the team was two elite receivers last year with Brown and Juju, and now it's like... You know, Eli Rogers maybe will be a solid number two, but he's not going to be a superstar.
I mean, their offensive line is obviously good. Is James Conner good? I mean, they just got lucky. They went from Bell to Conner, or is it that you plug anyone in there? Because, you know.
I think between Conner, who they drafted in 17, Samuels, they drafted in 18, and Benny Snell Jr., who they drafted this year, like, one of them will be good. As long as the offensive line continues to be good, one of them will be good. It is definitely an aging O-line. Villanueva, Foster and Pounce, the inside, are old. DeCastro and Fowler. Like, nobody's getting better here. Everyone's in there at least their fifth year. People are super high on Vance McDonald. I think fantasy, he's because it's such a wasteland.
I think that's just because there's all these targets that they got to replace, right?
I mean, and there's so many targets. I mean, Juju's going to go bananas. Juju's probably getting picked in the first round, honestly, in fantasy.
Yeah, I was high on Juju last year, and that paid off, obviously. But now I'm not going to be able to afford him, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, because you guys pay with real money. So whoever's the richest in your league just gets. How funny. By the way, in one of the Sim and Sal leagues, I think they do that, right? Where you have to pay money
for. I was in this really dumb home run derby pool once with Superfan Robbie, where we bid on everyone in the home run derby and you get like the total home runs hit. Or maybe it was just you got the winner and so everyone's just bidding up. I forget which way it worked. But the point is, it was real money. So technically speaking, you could spend all
the
money.
And there was no cap?
No, there was no cap. You spend whatever you want to spend.
So just the richest person could buy every guy if they wanted?
Well, but then they're winning no pot. Then, you know, then they have 100% chance of winning $0.
Like, what if three people, like, someone spends $50 and is like, all right, I'm just going to steal $50 and just bid on every single player?
But
like, I'm gonna get Stanton and Judge or whatever.
There's
I'm going to spend $10,000 to win $50.
There's no ante.
Yeah, but someone's bought my point is, like, all right, you go first. You say, like,
one guy,
Pete Alonso.
And I buy
great.
The other
he
seven.
Goes for $50, and then I buy everybody else, and I just spending
like
$10,000 to make 50.
That's like betting the money line when the Houston Astros play the Baltimore Orioles. Is it worth it to win?
No, it's crazier. It's like betting the money line when the Astros lead the Orioles 11-0 in the ninth. It's spending all of your money, but it's making $50. Like,
no, but it's
free
not
$50.
Because the home run derby, any guy can win. I don't know.
Oh, it's a literal derby. I thought you meant that. I'm sorry.
No,
I thought you meant that.
It was the home run derby before the actual home run derby.
I thought you meant it was like a home run pool where you're drafting guys that hit home runs during the season.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
No. It was
only
which of these eight guys is going to win. Yeah.
So can you get none of them in that pool?
Well, then you're just not in the pool.
Well, how many people are in the pool? It sounds like the worst constructed pool I've ever heard.
If my memory serves correctly, it was Robbie Weisenfeld, me, and Alan Weiss. It was just three of us.
Oh, okay. So three people. That makes sense. Okay, fine. So in theory, you could not bid. Like if by the sixth or seventh guy, if you have nobody, you should just not bid.
Yeah, so now that I'm thinking about it, I think the way it couldn't have been the cumulative home runs. I think it was got the winner.
In 10th grade, when we started playing poker, we didn't know some of the rules because, you know, it wasn't on TV yet in high school. So during our off periods when it was cold, we'd go play poker. And what we didn't know is, like, if you had a great hand, we thought you'd just put more and more money into the pot. So, like, one time I had the nuts in a high-low game and someone else had the nuts low. And we just, like, kept borrowing money from our friends until, like, eventually we just ran out of time. But all three of us had put in $80. So, like, the middle guy just lost his $80. And we were just, like, ran out of running money in the room in people's wallets.
Yeah.
It was,
I mean, back in the early
pot.
Days of poker, when
nobody
you
knew
these,
how it worked.
Yeah, you could play these ridiculous table games, like Omaha High-Low.
And you lose the deed to your house.
Yeah, Omaha High-Low
in the movies.
Was always a ridiculous one because someone would almost always have the nuts low.
Yes.
And so they're just making the max bet every single time.
Right. At worst, you have tied for nuts.
Yeah,
low.
But
like
what almost always happens is there's three people left in the pot, and two of them are splitting, and one guy's losing all his money. And it's like,
yes.
Wait.
Well, that's what happened in that pot, and we literally just ran out of
like
money.
Moron.
Like, we could have gone all day.
He was playing like a 7-8. Like, why are you doing that? Like,
in the hand I'm thinking of, it was a moron. It was the same guy who our principal once said when we got busted getting in trouble for something, and he was willing to, nice enough guy to try and cop the blame for himself and not let anybody else get in trouble. He said in front of the whole grade, the principal, I know that person blank is not smart enough to be the mastermind of this operation.
Speaking of Obstinensky, that's what he said to me defending me once from an accusation against me in Yeshiva in Israel. He said I wasn't smart enough to come up with it. So
yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we didn't know how to play poker.
That's
back
also
then. So the Steelers.
That's also what security said about me once. I was flying El Al to from JFK to Tel Aviv, and security asked me a couple questions. They said, "What's your birthday?" And I told them, and they said, "What's your sign?" And I got it wrong. And so the one turns to the other in Hebrew and says, "This one's too stupid to be a threat," or something like that.
Yeah. You don't know you're a Taurus?
No, I'm a Gemini. Pisces. I knew that. Gemini. But for some reason I just froze, and so the woman was just
Libra Nation, baby.
But she might have been making that joke for my benefit, because how would she know I didn't speak Hebrew when I had a kippah on? So I don't remember the details. I just remember she's saying I was too dumb. So
The best name on the Steelers, Jordan Dangerfield. That's a great name. Yeah, of course. There aren't enough Dangerfields in sports. Yeah. They drafted five defensive players, including Devin Bush Jr. in the first round and cornerback Justin Lane in the third round. So they're clearly focusing on improving the defense. Joe Hayden feels like he's been around forever. Steven Nelson, Terrell Edmonds. So really the star on this defense going forward is going to be T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt is really a mini J.J. Watt. He's one of the 5 or 10 best in the league at getting to the quarterback. Like, he's not his brother, but if there are 10 elite pass rushers in the league this year, he's going to be one of them. So they do have a pass rush. They have an aging with Tuitt and Hayward and Williams, Dupree, like an aging but sort of competent defense. It's not one of the horrendous Steelers defenses from years past. I do agree. I think this team could beat, obviously, the Steelers on any Sunday could beat any team. But I think, like, cumulatively throughout the season, this is not the most impressive Steelers team we've ever seen. And that's an understatement.
Yeah, but I mean, could you see this team going to the Super Bowl though? Because you could say that, you said you could see that in Houston.
I think Houston has a higher upside than them, because I think Watson could get better. I think Hopkins could have the best year of his career in theory, and the pass rush is a little more formidable. I think they're probably going to be in the playoffs. There aren't a lot of obvious playoff contenders in the AFC.
Yeah.
You really have to scrape to get past like 7 now that Luck is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the Colts as an absolute lock to make the playoffs. Like, the Colts were really good. The Colts could still make the playoffs now in the South, to be honest. Like, it's not impossible that Brissett brings them to 9-7. I didn't get to speak on the Colts podcast, but the Colts, like, their team was so deep that it's not impossible they make it. I don't know. Could this team win? I'm going to say no. This team will probably not win the Super Bowl.
Yes, that's a safe bet.
But I guess any team that you're saying is probably going to make the playoffs is a Super Bowl contender at this point.
Sure.